all of the energy, everything that was going to be used to keep the plant going on and reproduce, it's absorbed from the ground and it's collected in the heart of the agave. And that's when you cut it and that's when you make mezcal.
So you can come here and do a mezcal tasting and try 3, 4, 5 different mezcals, and they're wildly different.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything, and this is a little extra, a little sidebar, so to speak, but we're at Limos Negros restaurant here in the Central Historical District of Mexico City. I'm here with Juan Pablo and Nicholas Gilman. One of the things that Nicholas and Juan Pablo both have talked to me about is how special the alcohol menu is here, that there's all kinds of local craft beers, local wines, regional wines, meaning all within Mexico, but also especially the tequilas and the mezcals, which I know very little about. So I'm going to let you guys speak, but tell me about it. Tell me again what sorts of things you have and why I might want to have particular ones.
Well, let me say first that tequila is mezcal. Tequila is a form of mezcal, and mezcal is made all over Mexico and it's become very fashionable in the last few years. There was always artisanal mezcal, but really it fell out of favor. And the only mezcal that was available was really a rot gut kind of tourist oriented product from Oaxaca. But in the last 20 years since I've been in Mexico, it's come back as a fashionable drink, and they're making incredible artisanal mezcals all over Mexico. There are now bars called mezcalerias, which is not really a traditional phenomenon, but is artificially created. And it's wonderful because you can go into these bars and sample mezcals from all over the country. And Juan Pablo's bar here is really a refined venue for tasting mezcals that he has personally curated. Isn't that right? That you have gone all over Mexico finding these amazing mezcals.
Definitely. We focused on mezcal long before it became fashionable. Like you said, we've always had amazing mezcal, and it's always been artisanal. The brands that were distributed and the brands that everybody knew, they didn't have quality. So you could start by the hangover, the taste of it, the aromas. They weren't actually representing this traditional sacred drink that we've been distilling for 5 centuries. And it was sacred because coming from our most precious plant, which is agave. The agave gave us clothing with its textiles, everything coming out of the pencas, which were treated in the first haciendas of the country, las haciendas enequeneras. They made enequen with agave. Then we had pulque or aguamiel. We made a spirit called mezcal. And then everything else of the plant served as food or even wood. So even the houses were made out of them. So it is a plant that was described as the tree of wonders. That's how some people at those times describe it. Recently, it became like we turned around to see everything that's indigenous to us and native to Mexico. And we've come to appreciate much more of it and to look for ingredients that belong to us and came out of this place, plus the traditions that all of these families have to make amazing craft mezcales.
What's wonderful is that people in the new generations in Mexico are not rejecting their culture, very much the opposite. They want to take it back. Young people are going to pulquerias, which were bars that serve pulque that were just disappearing, and they're returning to things that are inherently Mexican. There's a phenomenon here called malinchismo, which means a rejection of things Mexican and looking to Europe and America for culture. That's no longer true in younger generations of middle and upper middle-class people. So I think people are looking for all these traditional and wonderful things that we have here.
Well, some people don't know that in Mexico, we as a country produce mezcal since long time ago in more than 21 states. And people think mezcal's coming from Oaxaca only. But Michoacán has amazing mezcals, Guerrero, Puebla, Durango, Tamaulipas, even the state of Mexico.
And what is the difference between mezcal and tequila?
If we were in a utopian world, there would be no difference. But the main difference is that one was industrialized and the other one wasn't. The thing is that mezcal has this traditional method of distilling it. It could be in clay, in copper, but it's always with this traditional methods, and they should comply with this set of norms, like having this amount of alcohol by volume. it should be 100% coming from the agave plant with no sugar added whatsoever. So it should all come from mature plants. So you can only make mezcal once the plant is expressing its ultimate beauty and expression of life with the only flower that it produces in its lifetime. At this point where they cut it and all of the energy, everything that was going to be used to keep the plant going on and reproduce, it's absorbed from the ground and it's collected in the heart of the agave. And that's when you cut it and that's when you make mezcal. But the industrialized spirits, such as, for example, tequila, they cut it way before this point and they add what should have been natural. So they add the sugars needed, they add the oils or the vanilla or the color or everything that wood may give you too. I think, well, fundamentalists of mezcal think that this should never be barrel aged. It should always be matured in glass because that's the way you respect and you get to taste the actual flavor of the plant without any addition of the pepperness of the wood or the vanilla taste of it or the wood itself. So it should be pure because one agave plant takes from 6 or 8 years to be mature enough to 30. So to have this complexity of flavors of 20 summers and 20 rainy seasons, maybe families that were planting bananas or nuts on the side of the agave plantation, it's wrong to have it put in wood because you're taking the essence of the plant. So it should be pure.
We're talking like Añejo or Reposado, no real aging that darkens it and stuff, just essentially something more similar to Blanco?
Exactly. None of that. Non añejo, non reposado. It should be young, or if it's not young, it should be matured in glass. So it becomes more round, more soft, more smooth.
Thank you. And I really mean this because I like to try things. I like to think that I can acquire a taste for things. And I think that I have done really well going through different countries and cultures, their liquors. And I love a lot of the European liquors that are aged in spirits that are aged in oak or other kinds of wood. But I never picked up a liking for tequila that was anything other than Blanco. I loved the fruitiness. I loved everything about it. But when I've had them aged in wood, I just felt I was tasting the wood. It sounds like I would really like the mezcals much better.
And Juan Pablo goes and travels to these small producers who are not necessarily commercial to find the mezcals that are in the bar here. Isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly. We go get them in this restaurant. I'm sort of like the filter of what's coming to your table. So every mezcal that we like, we try to bring it to the restaurant.
And they're hanging in these hand-blown glass sort of reformed jars over the bar. You can actually see them. They're absolutely beautiful. So you can come here and do a mezcal tasting and try 3, 4, 5 different mezcals, and they're wildly different. They have a common sort of set of aromas and flavors, the smokiness, but they range from being a little bit sweet, from being mild to being kind of harsh. It's really interesting. Everybody has their own favorite. Isn't that true?
Exactly. And as you were saying, the difference, it's because there's like 55 different types of agave plants that we can get mezcal out of, that we can destill mezcal from. And they all have different personalities. They all grow in different states of the country. And plus they have the soils different. The maestro mezcalero, the master who makes it, has its own techniques and its own equipment, which also adds to the very unique flavor of each batch. Once you try an artisanal mezcal, you'll never get to try that mezcal ever again because it's like wine and it's here. Seasons change, the soil changes, plant too.
So Juan Pablo, like with a wine, this is a Bordeaux 1972. Is there a terminology to refer to them so that you know the year, the terroir, and so forth?
We always specify the town that it's been made and the type of agave. So you can have a Tobalá or an Espadín or a Tobasiche or maybe a Jabalí, but all of these types of agave. For example, the blue agave or Tequilana Weber, it's one type of agave that you can get mezcal out of. If you were to make it in the traditional, most craftily made mezcal, there's a way that tequila should taste like when it's done non-industrialized and with no additives.
And remember that tequila, the original name of tequila is mezcal de tequila. And what we call tequila was actually a type of mezcal, a very specific type made in a specific way that's a little bit different from the kind of mezcals we're talking about.
Yes, any agave distilled spirits are mezcal. But when they got to make their own laws, they separated from the other types of mezcal, and they were established in a town called Tequila because they saw how, you know, the potential of this plant and how quickly they grew and all of the sugars that were concentrated in the heart of the agave. But yes, there's a lot more flavors to mezcal because you can make them with all of the agaves, not just with that one.
So it's fast approaching happy hour, and I think maybe we should order a round of mezcals, don't you think, Harry?
Definitely, we should.
Absolutely. You've whet my appetite, I must say. I might like to try the insects, but I definitely want to try the mezcal.
One thing that I didn't say about mezcal, and I wanted to add, is that when we go get these batches of mezcal, you can get there to the Sierras of Oaxaca, for example, by car. But some of the times you can't even get there by car. So you need to walk. And what this tells us is that they make the mezcal for themselves, for their parties, for their weddings. This is like the warranty for me, like the thing I look for. It's not someone that came and inspected and saw if it was good for duty-free exports or any other store. The reason that I buy them is that they approve it and that they make it for themselves. And this is what I try to bring to the restaurant.
Is it hard to acquire them in a sense when you show up? Do they say, I don't want to sell to you? Or if you built a reputation, or is it a negotiation?
No, they know me already. And throughout the years, we've made a fascinating bond. And so they receive us with traditional dishes and food. And this is all inspiring for the menu as well. And this is something that got me to have many more ingredients than just mezcal. Places where I found and was inspired by what they were eating. And then if you get that together with the creative process of the kitchen, then you come up with something like the things you're going to try today.
All right. I want to end this. I want to do another very quick little segment if you have time. If not, it's okay. But again, please tell everybody the name of the place, where to find it online, all of that, so that this stands alone. And you've been listening to Juan Pablo, and you've been listening to Nicholas Gilman, and I'm Harry Hawk. Gentlemen, please tell us where to find this place and your websites and so forth.
So we are located in the heart of downtown Mexico City. The street name's Allende, number 3. And we are located a few steps from Tacuba Street. We are really close to Bellas Artes, Fine Arts Palace, and an emblematic building of the city. Very beautiful one too. And you can locate us in the number 5521-5576. The Twitter is @LimosnerosMX. Our Facebook page is Limosneros. The webpage is limosneros.com.mx.
And you can read my review at goodfoodmexicocity.com. Just look for Limosneros, www.goodfoodmexicocity.com.
I am Harry Hawk, and this has been Talking About Everything. We've been talking about mezcal and tequila, and I hope that you have a chance to try some of the mezcal, as I imagine I am about to do. I hope everybody has a great day. Bye-bye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.